dragon, rock dragon, cock this dragon. Hello and welcome to the Illumination Cinema Podcast. I am Christopher Strong, and joining with me in this podcast is
Tyler W. Moore.
I felt like one of those, like, answering machine things.
You have reached the extension of
Tyler W. Moore.
If you want to leave a message.
Yeah. Message is, let's start the podcast. Let's do this.
All right.
All right, this is a podcast we've been wanting to do for a long, long time. Dragon Ball Z. Tyler, what is your favorite anime?
Dragon Ball Z.
Hey, ask me the same question.
Hey, Chris, what's your favorite anime?
Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, good answer.
Mm-hmm. I had to think about that one for a while. You know, there's a lot of great animes out there. It's like Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Ball GT is, you know.
Let's not lie to ourselves. Dragon Ball GT exists.
I like the part in Dragon Ball GT when it ended. I like the part whenever they stopped making their episodes.
I like the part in Dragon Ball GT when Vegeta had a mustache.
Okay, real fast. Okay, so
I shaved my mustache.
Okay, so the first part of contradiction canon. So they said that Saiyan's
never changes.
Yeah, the hair never changes. Vegeta
girl must. And how is his hair shorter?
Yeah. Second question for you. I think he probably just like the hedge clippers. just
like a weed right whacker.
No, he's very jealous of Goku's spiky hair. He wanted some himself, so wanted even more spikier hair.
All right. So
okay, so let's get
So let's actually do the podcast now.
This is the podcast. Yeah. All right. So, real fast.
Yes.
Let's talk about our first introductions to Dragon Ball Z. So Tyler W. Moore. Sorry. What was your introduction to Dragon Ball Z?
For me, it's actually kind of two separate instances. The first time I ever saw anything Dragon Ball Z related, I was 6 years old, and it was a shot of Piccolo blowing up the moon.
Moon!
And I thought, this looks awesome. And horrifying, because Piccolo's scary. Wasn't until a year later, because for me, Dragon Ball Z was always at a weird time slot. So it was a year later, and it was the episode where they're all fighting the Cell Juniors. And I remember I started watching that episode, like I was sitting down, and then halfway through I was on the edge of my seat, and then by the end of it I was standing up, just elated by what I was watching, and from there I was hooked.
Let's all have this imagination, by the way, of Tyler in his PJs, like these
why am I in my PJs? It's like 3 p.m.
Okay, so Tyler in his PJs. I wore my PJs at 3 p.m. I don't give a crap. Eating his Wheaties or whatever. Yeah, eating his Lucky Charms, that's what it is. And like all Lucky Charms while they spilled all over the floor as Tyler's
I'm wearing the cereal bowl as a hat.
Elated at the fact that these awesome animation things are going around the screen and going, blow each other up, blah, blah.
Because the thing is, like,
That's Dragon Ball Z to Tyler.
Back then, I had never seen anything that looked like that. The animation compared to, just in design, really, the animation was,
I mean, like Japanese style animation,
like how stylized it was compared to American cartoons was crazy. I had never seen anything else like it, and like something so action packed and I want to say violent, but
well, I mean, have you seen Looney Tunes though?
Yeah. Well, like it's just the way it's portrayed.
That coyote's not going to catch the roadrunner and just let him go. He's going to eat him, okay? That's the part of the story that I'll tell you about. It's a very violent show.
The skunk isn't going to catch the cat and just let it go. Oh. Let's not talk about the rape implications of Looney Tunes. We're getting Lola, off to a okay, really great start
hey,
for this
hey, one. Lola Bunny, all right? Let's go and have... All right. So, Japanese anime.
Anyway, Chris, mm-hmm. what was your introduction to the show?
I was 7 years old.
I love Shrek so much.
What?
I had all the merchandise and movies.
Uh-huh. Cool story.
I prayed to Shrek every night, thanking him for the life I'd been given.
Stop, shut up.
My dad overheard me and called me a
So,
I called right, him so a
my introduction to
tell us of my devotion to Shrek.
So, I was... I was 7 years old, and the third episode of Dragon Ball Z was on. Mm-hmm. And that episode, by the way, I believe is the one where Raditz gets and Goku gets shot by Piccolo's special beam cannon. So my introduction to the series was watching the main character of the series get killed. So that was a great way to start off. I was, like, instantly hooked, though. I was like, this is such, like, this is so cool. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And there I was, my PJs, 3 p.m., eating my Lucky Charms.
Wearing your cereal bowl as a hat.
Yeah. With the milk all over the floor and all that stuff.
Skid marks all over your underwear.
You say you don't talk about that. You say you would never tell anybody about that, right? That happened one time, okay? Also, that was playing with Legos, okay? Sure.
Okay. That's continue, right, Chris.
It's traumatizing. So I remember specifically. So, okay, I'll tell the story because it's kind of funny. Now it's funny. Back then, it was really stupid of me. So I was so into Dragon Ball Z. One time, I'd go over to my aunt's house. And my aunt's house, they didn't have cable. And Cartoon Network was the place that showed Dragon Ball Z. And that was on cable. And so I lied to them and, like, said that I had to watch the last episode of the series or blah, 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 and I was, like, crying, you know, whatever, about it. And so I got to watch the episode and then go to my aunt's house.
What a pathetic sack of shit.
It was, like, midway through the Saiyan saga, and, by the way.
I would have done the exact same thing.
So, what's the perspective here? So, if I had just watched the third episode, right? Mm-hmm. And this is middle of the same. This is like whenever Vegeta first shows up. Vegeta and Nappa show up on Earth. Mm-hmm. That's whenever this incident happened. So, it's not like that many episodes had passed. So, obviously, I was probably 7, not quite 8 years old.
That's just a testament to how hooked you were.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. I had, like, all the action figures, by the way. I had, like, everything. Oh, yeah. It was kind of funny. It was, like, on Christmas, I got an action figure, so I was 8. By the time I was probably 8 years old now. I got a action figure from Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. Parents got me. And I was so, like, happy. I was like, oh, it's Dragon Ball Z action figure, blah, blah, blah. Looked at it, and I was like, why does Goku have short hair? I was just confused. Like, why does Goku have short hair? Like, the emblem on his his emblem is fine. It was like his hair, his facial features, all that stuff right there was all messed up, and I was like so like upset about this. Uh-huh. Probably about like maybe 3 or 4 years later, I realized that was Gohan and don't Gohan.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's because
they released the action figures in America before the episodes ever aired. Right. Like the Cell was it?
Well, because Japanese action.
The Buu saga, sorry, the Buu saga hadn't come out yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, close. Like we were still doing probably, I guess Frieza would probably have been. I guess maybe Frieza before pre-Garlic Jr. saga was going on, and it was just like, you know, Tria Might was still like fresh in my mind probably. And I was like, who is this, I know who this person is. So when I play with my action figures or whatever, I find action figures like those sometimes when I was a little kid, and I would always play them as Goku. And then my parents got me another action figure. And I was a little short looking action figure, and it's like a small Goku.
Oh, God.
So I was like, oh, it's Goku. It was like, it's supposed to be like Kid Goku, right? And I was like, no, it's Goten.
Well, that would make sense if Dragon Ball had come out or anything like that.
Well, yeah, Dragon Ball had come out, and like, actually, for a little while there, I was actually a bigger fan of Dragon Ball than Dragon Ball Z. Simply because of the fact that, like, to me, like, the Red Ribbon Army saga was probably one of the greatest sagas in, like, the history at first, until, like, well, I'll get this later, but oops, I bumped something. Sorry, audience. At a time whenever, like, because they were showing Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z at the same time.
Yeah.
It was like...
Because they showed, like, the first 13 episodes with the Ocean dub. And then,
they did.
It did horrible.
Yeah.
And, they ended up going with Dragon Ball Z, and after Dragon Ball Z was so successful, Funimation redubbed it and started, putting out the episode, putting them up at the exact same time.
But didn't didn't they also dub, Dragon Ball Z for a little while there?
Yeah, they did the first two seasons.
Okay, yeah. So, and then Funimation took over.
Like, and it wasn't doing so well when Ocean Dub was doing it, until like they finally found a time slot that kind of worked for most people. And then like it gained a lot of popularity around 99, and Funimation just, it was going to be cheaper for them to do it with their in-house cast, so they just did it that way.
Because Ocean Dub is one of the Canadians, I
yes.
Think? Okay.
So it's actually weird for the Canadians, because or like for whoever like that, cause I don't know if it's just Canada that was like this. They after those first two seasons, they didn't have Dragon Ball Z for a while, because they couldn't use the American dub for whatever stupid reason, because it didn't have. It had nothing to do with Canada. So there's like, they actually waited a while and then like went on, they started it back up at the same place where America currently was. So like, it's in the middle of the Cell saga. It's like, there's nothing about Frieza, the early Android stuff. Up until Cell.
They have like a previously on Dragon Ball Z, like just like fast through everything. And it'd be like the previously on Lost, where it's like the entire episode is previously on Lost, and then they show the episode like 5 minutes, like, oh, that's next episode. What? What happened to John Locke? What? What's going on?
Previously on Dragon Ball Z, Frieza shows up, and Goku killed Frieza, and he became a Super Saiyan, and then Trunks shows up, and then there's androids.
And Krillin gets banged.
And Krillin had a girlfriend for a little while. Well, let's not talk about that.
But then she got sucked up. This isn't a porno, I promise. that sounds horrible. Have you ever heard the German version of Dragon Ball Z?
No.
The German dub?
No, I have not.
Dude, is like butch. It's already a butch language. I love German, so I was listening to the German version, and it definitely sounds a lot scarier.
did you watch that video I sent you the other day? The big green dub.
Specify. No.
It's this like this weird other English dub by, I think it's called the AB Group. And it's called the
Green Dub
because it was originally in, I think it was the French dub, but they like made alternate English tracks with their cast, and it is so fucking terrible.
wait, so hold on, we'll do this straight. So French people, right, are dubbing this thing, right? Yes. In American, like with English words.
In English, well, like no, it was a French dub, like it. Like, it was done in French. But I think it was only for the movies. I'm not sure.
Sorry. I was trying to, like...
No, like, I don't know. And they just did, like, an alternate track in English. So, yeah. And, like, the voices are, like, they sound like old people. Like, Vegeta sounds like this. It's like, and like the voices keep changing. Frieza has a deep man voice.
It's like, let's be fair though. Frieza for the longest time, I debated with my friends saying that it was an improper dubbing, that Frieza is actually a girl because that voice was a female. That was so I was convinced that Frieza, plus Frieza didn't have anything, you know.
Right.
Whatever. And Frieza is naked. Mm-hmm. You know, is Frieza naked? I thought it is, like,
yeah, like in, I guess he has like the armor in his first form, but
yeah, but it's like you could, like,
he's an alien, he doesn't have to have genitals. What if Frieza had a dick throughout the entire
show? What do you think his tail is? was that like a Team 4 Star thing? A joke. Oh, by the way, we'll talk about that later in this podcast. although, in the meantime, we're going to start quoting Team 4 Star.
Yeah, that is also going to happen. So,
also, spoiler alert.
I think anyone who's seen Dragon Ball Z or cares about Dragon Ball Z
is... Anybody listening to this podcast and has not seen Dragon Ball Z and listening to this podcast... To learn about Dragon Ball Z. It's like those people that, you know, that pop in a DVD for the first time and listen to the commentary track instead of watch the movie.
Why?
Oh, it's a great movie. I'm gonna watch the actual movie now. What? Oh my
god. Anyway.
How's that work?
So sorry. Let's get into some of our favorite things about the show. Chris, what would you say your favorite arc is?
Garlic Jr.
Really?
No.
Okay. I was like, that is a weird choice, and I'm looking forward to your explanation.
Well, you see, Tyler, it's because great,
you know, I like the garlic part where Yamcha and Piccolo turn into vampires, and I also like the part how Garlic Jr. is apparently stronger than Frieza.
Yeah. I mean, that's because he's also immortal, because immortal somehow gets you more power, I guess.
Yeah. Also, this somehow makes the dead zone canon. He's been
yeah, oh god. Thankfully, though, Garlic Jr.'s song is not canon, yes. So we're good. We're okay. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so my favorite saga, I honestly can't decide between Frieza saga and the Cell Games saga.
Really?
By the way, I'm going to go ahead and make sure I tell you why I'm specifying this. Okay. Instead of just saying the Frieza saga and Cell saga. The Frieza saga, because it was just exciting. Frieza saga, by the way, started like back whenever Frieza first starts fighting Vegeta and Piccolo. That's what I'm going to put it. So right after Ginyu is dead. Captain Ginyu is dead. Mm-hmm. And that from
well,
on
well, not dead,
till the end.
Turned into a
fight. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which, by the way, is some of the worst filler in that show, is Bulma and Ginyu Frog.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I thought I kind of appreciated it, actually. It's kind of like a buddy-buddy movie, in a way. It's kind of like, you ever see that Joe Pesci and Danny Glover movie, Gone Fishing? It's kind of like that, but way more exciting than that movie was. Anyways, so Frieza's talking because of the fact that the whole entire Frieza fight was just this great build-up to, you know, first you have Vegeta fighting Frieza. Mm-hmm. And it was like, Vegeta's gonna, like, you know, kick his butt, whatever, right? Because mm-hmm. Vegeta's been, like, training it, like, he defeated all his people, whatever, blah, blah. Gets his butt handed to him, mm-hmm. or Frieza. Piccolo steps in, who just fused with,
Nail.
What's it, Kami? Nail, thank you. Nail.
Nail!
Started.
It has begun.
Yes, Lord Guru. Anyways, so Piccolo steps in. I honestly, to me, I thought that Piccolo was going to be the one that's going to defeat Frieza. Mm-hmm. I was, by the way, so I was an idiot. So I was like, oh, this is great, blah, 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 blah. And I love Piccolo. Piccolo's one of my favorite characters of all time. And then, like, he's doing great against him. Frieza transforms, kicks his butt. Like, great. So we have this Great part there, like, now you're just waiting for Goku to come out. Because it's such a great build-up for, like, Goku. When he comes out, everybody's just like, there's Goku, blah, blah. And, like, I remember my friends talking about, like, the moment when Goku's going to come out and kick his butt. Mm-hmm. That was, like, we're on the playground talking about this part's going to happen. We're so excited. Like, I don't think that's ever happened before. Like, we're the entire, the conglomerate of all of, like, the, I guess, been, like, first through, like, fifth grade, we're talking about this part's going to happen. And that's probably one of the best, like, best memories of my childhood, was like us just like debating about like how long it's gonna take Goku to beat his butt or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's gonna happen, you know? And and obviously the formation scene where Goku transforms into a Super Saiyan, right. And it's just that whole part to me was one of my favorite parts in Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. until the father-son Kamehameha wave in the Cell games. Mm-hmm. That part to me, where like the music was perfect, that dun 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 dun, dun, dun. Which actually it's called the Ginyu Transformation song, which took me forever to find. I was looking so long. I was looking through. I buy all the soundtracks, obviously. And I was like trying to find, where's this song? It's a great song. And that entire scene was so amazing that I think it's on par with Goku transforming into a Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
To me, that's why, it's a big part right there, why I put those two as even. Plus, the Cell games music is very exciting. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's kind of an interesting sort of twist to the whole story. And I realize people don't like the fact that it's like, oh, let's just all fight Cell.
Right.
That'd be so much easier, blah, blah. Yeah, but that doesn't takes away all the excitement from it. Mm-hmm.
You know. It's funny in like the way that Cell's kind of toying with him, like he knows, like Cell is so confident in the fact that he could just mop the floor with every one of these people that he's like, oh yeah, come on.
And Goku does a great strategy where he decides to instill confidence in his son, who he knows has the power to defeat Cell. Mm-hmm. He just has to find a way to unlock that basically inside of him,
and then the scene Cell where kick the shit out of him for a while.
Yeah, but no, that's right. The other scene there, I loved. I also think this is what pushes. I think that might push Cell like a little bit further. Was Android 16 when he dies? Mm-hmm. That was like the saddest moment in Dragon Ball Z. Like, because everybody loves Android 16. That's like the best character that came out with for a long time. And it was just, then they killed him, and he died. And he knew for a fact that he's an android, he's not coming back. Yeah. He's gone. There's no soul inside of him, basically. But he's still just, upsetting to watch this happen. Mm-hmm. And when Gohan just, burst of energy, turns to Super Saiyan 2, that was it right there. Yeah. I think that's why that's the winner, because I had that entire, right. Like, I think I suggest a lot of the transforming stuff, like, I just love so much. Mm-hmm. But I think that was because that they do a great job of, like, putting emotion to these things. It's not just, like, them, like, going, whatever, for a long time, mm-hmm. which people make fun of all the time. There's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
At least they give, like, an emotional reason behind this, especially with the Saiyan transformation. It's like when Vegeta transformed into a Super Saiyan. Let's show that scene. That was a great mm-hmm. scene. It was like he's finding the asteroids meteorites, about to hit with meteorites, or he's trying to hit him. He's like just, you know, trying to defend his ship, and he almost near defeat, and he transforms into a Super Saiyan, mm-hmm. showing that there's other ways to transform into it. So it's like,
I want to be a Super Saiyan! I wanna!
God. Alright, Tyler, since I've rambled on and on about this, what's your favorite saga?
My favorite is the...
Oh, we're out of time. Sorry, Tyler, we're out of time. See you guys next time, next podcast.
Be sure to subscribe and like and leave a comment.
I think liking this might be a little too much.
Yeah.
Asking too much for the audience.
I wish there was an indifferent button.
Yeah.
It's like
good try.
It's like the thumb in the middle.
Yeah.
My favorite arc is the Saiyan conflict. Because mm-hmm. there's just something about it, like, especially after everything, like, that Dragon Ball was, and it, like, it takes everything that happened there and just, like, totally flips it on its head. Like, Raditz shows up, Goku has a brother, he's part of an evil, like, super-powered alien group, and it's, like, that opening twist is just insane. The main character dies. And it's so crazy, because you get past, like, Frieza, and then everything is, like, people are constantly, like, one person stronger than the other, things... After Frieza, that kind of gets ridiculous a little bit.
It feels too, like, formulaic, pretty much. Gotcha.
Like, everyone is... There's no power cap at that point.
Piccolo's gonna be the hero. Gohan's the hero. No, Goku's the hero. No, wait, Gohan's the hero again. Goku's the hero again.
Everyone's infinitely strong all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so weird to, like, you're in that mindset when you're watching the show, so it's so hard to think, like, oh, I'll be able to go back to the beginning and, like, not think about, oh, Goku's going to be a Super Saiyan later on. The thing about the Saiyan Saga that makes it so great is it snaps you right back to that point the instant you start watching it. And, like, Raditz is nothing compared to even, like, Nappa. And Raditz seems like a legitimate threat in the episodes he's in.
Well, it's like also, if I may interrupt you for a second, Raditz's power level was what, about 1,000?
I have no idea.
Okay, so let's say Raditz's power level is about 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. All right, Frieza's power level I think it was the second transformation, mm-hmm. was like 1,000,000.
Yeah.
So let's remember that this huge increase in power level, just like jumping in power level or whatever, Vegeta got above 10,000 just after he arrived, or just before he arrived on Namek. Mm-hmm. So somehow we go from like 10,000 being this major like thing or whatever to all of a sudden 1,000,000. Mm-hmm. What? Okay, so it took Goku in his entire life up to the point when Raditz shows up, right? Mm-hmm. To be, like, let's say, like, 900 power level, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes from 900 power level to over 1,000,000 in about, what was it, about a year or two?
The thing is, like...
A couple of years? Yeah, because a couple of years because of his time in Afterlife.
Right, well, like, the thing is about, about, like, the Frieza Saga. The Frieza Saga sort of goes out of its way to prove that power levels totally don't matter whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like they're using this as like a calculated system to determine how strong someone is, but like, you know, Goku and all of the hero characters are constantly surpassing this.
And the scouter breakings.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yes.
Oh, the scouter broke. Well, duh. Stop using it.
Yes.
Also, why is it? Like, sorry, I keep interrupting. Yeah. I apologize. This last one. It won't be the last one. I promise. Yes. Why is it that like that this device right this is a super duper device that can measure your power level, Tyler, it's measuring how powerful you are, Tyler, right? Uh-huh. It explodes in your ear. Why does it do that to you?
I don't know.
Whoever built that, was it Oppenheimer who built that?
But like, yeah, that, I'm but yeah, with like the Saiyan Saga, I kind of skipping into our favorite characters, Vegeta is is my favorite character, and he's I would say like, because I would like to say like favorite hero, favorite villain, and I think Vegeta might be both, but for simplicity's sake, I'm gonna list Vegeta as my favorite hero, and Frieza as my favorite villain. The Frieza arc is a close second. There's so many layers to what's going on in the plot at that point. It's really good, but like I think the fact that the Saiyan Saga snaps you right back is there's a real credit, you can really credit it for that.
Would you also say that the Saiyan Saga was the most was a better paced saga than the rest?
Oh yes, that is it's definitely the best paced. It's got the most consequence to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least like it feels like it has the most weight to it. The Frieza Saga also feels like it has a lot of weight to it, but
do you feel like it might be like almost did feel like not it's like cop out, but the fact that, you know how if Piccolo dies, Dragon Balls are gone,
oh,
right?
Oh yes, like that. Like
all of a sudden, there's like, you know, there's like that add on to their then like all of a sudden they say, oh yeah, well, you know, he's from another planet. They have Dragon Balls too.
Uh-huh. Well, no, like I think that's fine, but like, it's probably like that's probably part of what makes the Namek Saga a little less, because like, oh, I guess there's a solution for everything always. But
if there's a will, there's a way.
But like that's something that makes the Saiyan Saga even better is like when they kill Piccolo, it's like, oh shit, now there's no Dragon Balls, like what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, Tien's gone, and you like, know, Yamcha's
if
gone,
Goku dies,
Chiaotzu,
he can't, like as far as they know, he can't come back because he's already like, even if Piccolo were still alive, if Goku were to die, he wouldn't be able to come back because you can only be brought back once.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was just like...
Well, I mean, Chiaotzu, same way. Chiaotzu died once in Dragon Ball. And plus Krillin as well.
Yeah, Krillin as well.
So...
See, there
I
was
mean,
just...
I mean, when Chiaotzu died, it was like this horrible, like, mm-hmm. this feeling that, oh, he can't come back again. He's mm-hmm. gone forever.
I think
that... And that's what's... I think that's what sets Tien off, like...
Mm-hmm. And, like...
Sorry, I interrupted you. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
And, like, it's also, like, a huge deal because all of the Dragon Ball characters who... you know, you really like, because, like, after Dragon Ball, is, like, they're all getting killed off by these two guys. It's, yeah, there's just, like, an immense amount of gravity in the situation, and it's just, I think it's just a really great arc.
Yeah. And, a big part also about the Saiyan Saga, which is the fact that it was the last saga that you actually saw Tien, Yamcha, Chiaotzu actually posing any kind of a threat mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. anybody. I guess in extension, Krillin. But, I mean, Krillin did come back with a bunch of good fights. Well, and people always crap on Krillin all the time. But, like, mm-hmm. out of all the human characters...
Oh, yeah.
He was easily the strongest human mm-hmm. character out of the whole entire series. And he did a great job, like, representing, you know, us humans. Mm-hmm. So, I think I like Krillin.
He definitely was... He was the most helpful out of all the human characters. I also like Tien a lot. Yamcha is the one that people should be shitting on. He's just a dork.
You know, Yamcha was a great character in Dragon Ball.
And then after that.
They kind of let him go a little bit. It's just kind of upsetting because... They could have done a little more with him, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, he always got to poop into the stick anyways. Even in Dragon Ball, he still, you know, got his butt handed to him in a way by Kami.
Yeah.
When he fought Kami in the World Martial Arts Tournament.
Yes.
Even though, like, Kami's like, oh, I'm losing. Oh, never mind. I'm kidding. Lol. Punch.
So, Chris, who would you say your favorite character is?
Oh,
and you can pick a hero or a villain.
Dude, I don't even know.
You said something about Piccolo earlier.
I like Piccolo back in the Frieza Saga, but I think like Gohan was my favorite for a while there, and then he wasn't in the Great Saiyans. it depends on the saga. In each saga, I have a favorite character. Mm-hmm. Vegeta Saga would be Vegeta. Mm-hmm. Then Namek Saga was Piccolo. Cell Saga was Goku. The Buu Saga was Vegeta again.
Yes.
Just because... Okay. Let's go talk about this controversy for a little bit, if we may.
This is also getting into our favorite moments as well.
Well, it's... So, Vegeta's your favorite character. Mm-hmm. How mad are you that Vegeta had one of the greatest scenes of all time in Dragon Ball Z, where he blows himself... Let's set this up for a second there.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, you know, I love you to Trunks. he says goodbye to, you know, mentally says goodbye to Bulma and just, you know, says how much he loves him, whatever. Blows himself up to kill Boo to save the world.
And it amounts to nothing.
And nothing. And he just died for no reason. And they had this horrible cop-out where they just brought him back to life.
Yeah. He just suddenly reappears. And then, like, yeah.
Stupid. Like, so stupid.
So, like, so mad. Goku kills a major villain. Gohan kills a major villain. Vegeta has a huge redeeming moment and could have killed a villain. And I've talked to so many people, or like, just like, I'll be like, just posting on like comments and on videos or something, just like about how that would have been a perfect moment to end the series with, like that, and then have a couple aftermath episodes or whatever.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Yeah, and then like that.
That's because it was such a great ending. It was like the most. It was like the best thing they could have done with the Boo saga.
It's the best thing they could have done with Vegeta's character.
And then all of a sudden after that, it was like Hercule makes Boo a happy person, blah blah blah. And all of a sudden there's evil Boo, and there's, you know, then there's super Boo. Evil Boo. Yeah, super Boo. That's what it's super Boo. And then extra supreme super Boo when he absorbs Gohan and Gotenks. And then there's Kid Boo.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting.
Yeah, Kid Boo.
Although,
like, fucking villain.
We introduced my second favorite character of the Boo saga, which was the Supreme Kai. The elder. Was it the oldest? Because the Supreme Kai, then there's like the elder Supreme Kai? Elder Kai?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think his kind of nickname is Elder Kai or whatever.
Elder Kai, yeah. It's my favorite character in the Boo. It's second favorite character in the Boo saga.
That guy's great.
Yeah.
My favorite character when I was a kid was Gotenks.
I hated Gotenks. I was like, oh, shut up, I hate this person. Please don't be the hero.
He's, you knew he wasn't going to be. It was kind of a sort of a red herring, but...
So was Gohan.
Yeah, Gohan was a major one.
Everything was a red herring in this. Okay, so,
well, I mean,
it was like...
Akira Toriyama wanted Gohan to be the hero, but it had to be Goku, of course.
Stupid. It should have been Vegeta.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it. I mean, I can't reconcile this in my mind still as an adult. I can't reconcile a children's cartoon.
It's weird though, because Toriyama, his least favorite character is Vegeta, but his favorite's Piccolo, and like they have very similar character arcs.
Yeah, but, I mean, Piccolo started off as. Mm-hmm. Probably a better villain. Sorry, no offense to Vegeta. A much better villain than Vegeta was. Just because the fact that we, like, if you watch Dragon Ball, he seemed a lot more, like, he seemed a lot scarier.
He was the biggest villain in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, the fact that, like, you go through this emotional roller coaster in Dragon Ball, where Master Roshi dies, Tien almost gets killed. But Master Roshi keeps him from dying or whatever. Mm-hmm. Chiaotzu dies. So Tien's like this, you know, it's this emotional, like, emotionally enraged. And then you have, like, you know, Piccolo's ultimate bad guy, whatever. Goku defeats him by doing a dragon punch through his stomach. Except an egg gets shot out of his mouth right before he dies, lands and becomes Piccolo Jr. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, is an introduction to a great character. Mm-hmm. And the entire, like, the martial arts tournament, the entire time, like, you knew what was going to happen. Like, it was going to be Goku versus Piccolo. But that build-up was done so well in Dragon Ball. I think that was probably, as much as I love Red Ribbon Saga, Red Ribbon Saga, favorite saga, that part of the saga was probably better, build up. Not better in overall, but better build up than the Red Ribbon saga had.
Right.
Red Ribbon. And that's probably attributed to the fact that they were trying to, you know, get, like, the groove going. And that was, like, the ultimate culmination of, like, all that work right there. Just building up to, like, that great fight scene when Goku shows that he can fly and stuff like that. It's just, like, so cool. I'm nerding out over here. I'm sorry. But, like, Goku defeats Piccolo, and, like, Goku's, like, laying on the ground, and he's like, did I win? Whatever. It's like, even in his head, he's still that little kid of, like,
yeah.
Did I win the tournament? Whatever, in his mind. You know, the world. All right, the world at stake, whatever.
But he wants to know if he won the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. That's why Goku he's a great character. You know,
a horrible father.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
We were talking about the scene earlier where Gohan is getting his ass handed to him by Cell while Goku's still alive, and it's actually like because Piccolo's more of a father figure to Gohan than Goku is, which is a part of Piccolo's great character arc, and he's like, Goku, you gotta do something. And that's like, and like that's where Goku actually realized, like, oh shit, maybe my plan isn't working out. And then he actually steps in and does something.
Yeah. you know, what's bad though is I think that honestly Goku was a much worse father to Goten. He missed almost all of Goten's childhood. My god.
And yeah, like the scene where like he's finally come back from the dead, and then Goten runs up and hugs him. It's like,
no, you,
like,
you, fuck no, real, you. Real life, real life, real life would have been like, screw you, old man. You suck. We need presents from all the Christmases you missed.
Oh man. But let's see. So it's probably a dumb question, but what is your favorite dub?
Oh, Funimation.
Which one?
What do you mean?
Because I would say my favorite dub is the Kai dub.
Oh, are you asking about the character dubs or?
Oh, like because there's Ocean.
Oh,
Ocean
oh,
Group,
oh. Okay.
Funimation's
okay,
original
run, saying.
And then Kai.
Yeah. Okay, that's what you're talking about. Okay. I think it's. I can't decide between Funimation and Kai, because I look at them as like two separate beasts right there. Like one of them has the power of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. The other one also has like kind of the power of nostalgia in a way, but also has like a power of like being also kind of brand new and kind of fresh.
It takes it a lot seriously, more seriously.
Takes it a lot seriously.
Takes it a lot. Hey, it takes it a lot seriously.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is
it's really two different beasts.
It's easier to take it seriously with the Kai dub. Like it feels like a better flowing story. And another thing is, like outside of the anime, I like reading the manga more than I like watching the anime. And I might be in the minority with that, but when I was a kid, I had no idea that it was based on a graphic novel series. And when I found out, I was, you know, reading it. It's like the graphic novels are so much like the way the story's told is so much more mature. It's you know, it doesn't have any of the filler. It was just overall a better way to experience it, and it was less about, you know, like, because it wasn't just about, you know, people screaming and blasting at each other. It like, even like the Frieza fight was, there's a lot of strategy to it, and there's like you can just see it. Like, you get a better sense of it when reading it.
Mm. Yes, that makes some sense. I mean,
the art is beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it's like, while I don't agree, I can totally understand that point of view. Certainly, I share that point of view on another anime, Attack on Titan, which has a very wonderful graphic novel and a very great, it's a great, terrific anime series. But like I saw the episodes they've released up to now, and I started reading the manga or the graphic novel, whatever you call it, I guess, this thing. It was just, it's a lot of fun. I can totally see where you're coming from with liking the manga. I mean, yeah, you're in the minority clan, because minority are the ones that buy the Dragon Ball Z manga, and so I think it's fair to characterize you as just like a small subset, mm-hmm. only based on the fact that people just don't usually read that much.
Right.
People more want to watch stuff. Yeah. People are a lot more visual than they are mm-hmm. with, you know, reading.
And so I think, like, that's why I probably like Kai a lot more, because it's a lot more faithful to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, actually, kind of, you reminded me by saying, by talking about Attack on Titan. I hate the show Naruto. I hate Naruto.
Ninjutsu. Why is everybody a ninja in the show?
The first season of the show is okay, but I when I was a kid, I got a few of the Shonen Jump magazines. It has, you know, like just a variety of different it has like a couple chapters of a bunch of different mangas.
And oh yeah, I used to get those too. I remember those. Yeah.
There was one of them had Naruto in it, mm-hmm. and it was them like taking an exam. And you would think reading that would be boring, but it's actually the most interesting thing that has ever come out of freaking Naruto. And like it's them using their ninja abilities to cheat on the test, and like because like there's like people watching them from every angle, making sure they're not cheating. So they have to find and like a clever way to use their unique abilities to. Get through the test, and like that's what the actual mm-hmm. test is for them to find a way to cheat. And it was so interesting to watch, to read, whereas the anime is dog shit.
Yeah, you know what's even more interesting than Naruto? What? The Japanese movie titles.
All right, guys, I'm actually gonna leave that as our cliffhanger for this episode. Next week we'll be back to talk about the Dragon Ball Z movies and any other miscellaneous stuff that we decide to cover. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com.